So welcome back. Usually there's a lot of hype about the quality and the sound of audio equipment. And today, Fons Adriansen presents JAAA, so Jack Audio and ALSA, Jack and ALSA Audio Analyzer. And a tool to really measure what the quality of audio equipment is like.
Okay, the strange name of this program, Matthias already explained, it's Jack and ALSA Audio Analyzer, which means it works with Jack and ALSA, of course. This is an overview of my talk, so I will just explain what is this thing. Some information about Fourier transform-based spectrum analysis, how do you measure noise, some internal things, and a small demo. So what is it? It's a signal generator and a spectrum analyzer, the two in one program. I have to admit, this is really an alpha version, what you're seeing. I was very occupied working on another project, so I finished this up to the point that I needed myself, which is not very much. What's it used for? It's a technical tool, really, not a musical thing. And it's designed to check the performance of audio hardware and even software, if you want. So it's a technical tool, which means the frequency scale is linear, which is normally not the case with most analyzers if you use it for music. It's designed to do measurements, and they should be accurate. And to use it requires some minimal technical knowledge, I think. Some words you see often in this context. FT, Fourier transform, for those who know, sorry. it's a mathematical trick. It converts a signal, a function of time, into a spectrum, which is a function of frequency. What's important, this operates on a continuous signal, so not on samples. And it can be reversed, so no information is lost. And DFT, which is what we actually use, is the same thing, but this time it will work on samples. It's another mathematical trick, but it's the same thing as the normal Fourier transform. And FFT is an implementation of DFT, which is a bit faster than the normal one. If you just implement the formula for the DFT, it's very slow. FFT can be up to 100,000 times faster. FFTW3, that's an FFT library which I use in this program and which is used in many Linux applications. So, how do you use FFT to make a spectrum analyzer? In fact, FFT will operate on a block of n samples, where n is usually a power of 2, but it doesn't have to be. And it in fact replaces n divided by 2 bandpass filters. So the frequency step is the sample frequency divided by the number of samples. For example, if you have if the sample frequency is 44.1 kilo, then 1000-point FFT will give you a filter at 0 hertz, 43, 86, and so on, up to 20,000. So, could it be as simple as this? So, first try to make an analyzer. You input some audio and samples. Let the FFT do its work. You get n divided by 2 complex outputs. What we want is the magnitude of the complex number, so just the power, calculate that, and display the result, and then we expect something like on that window. If we put in a nice sine wave, we should expect one line. It's not that simple, unfortunately. What you will get is probably something like this. If you are unlucky. If you're lucky, you get the line. So why does this happen? Instead of one line, you have the whole spectrum is filled, really, which means that if you want to measure something here, upside down mouse, something here, which is maybe at minus 60 or 80 dBs, you just don't see it because it's hidden in all these lines. The reason is that the FFT is a bank of filters, but if you use it without any special measures, it's a very bad filter, really. And that is because the shape of the filter is, again, the Fourier transform of the input window, and the input window is the part of the signal that we use. So, if you just take n samples out of a long signal, which is the blue line on top, just take a block of n samples without doing anything else, then the window is that function that you see on top. And the Fourier transform of that window is the thing you see below, the red line, the brown line, really. So if you are lucky and your frequency happens to be exactly at the center of the filter, the top, then you get one beautiful line, because all the other filters at the same place will be at zero. No problem. But if your frequency is not at the center of the film of the filter, as for the blue lines, then you get an output from all those filters. And there are two consequences. First, you have all the things that you don't want to see, all the blue lines. And also, the top blue line doesn't go to the top. You have an error there, which is up to 4 dB. 4 dB is a lot for a measurement instrument. So the trick to avoid this is windowing. Instead of just using n samples and modified, you send them to a window function. And very often this is the raised cosine. It's just one cycle of a cosine inverted and shifted up. And then you already get a better filter. If you go back to this one, the first side lobe of this one, which is here, it's about 14 dB below the peak. And then it goes down very slowly. If you use the raised cosine window, then your first side lobe is already 30 dBs below, which is a lot better, of course, and it goes down much quicker. So this is often used, but in JAAA, we use an even better window. This is a comparison between the raised cosine and the window that I actually use. So in this case, the red one is the one used. All side lobes are below 80 dB, which means that you can measure a very small signal, minus 80 dB, if it is not too close to a large one. So compared with the raised cosine, this is a lot more interesting for the type of instrument that we want to make. There's a consequence, of course. If you compare the two, you see that the main filter, the width of the main lobe, has become a lot wider. This is the price you pay. You can't have a very narrow filter and have no side lobes at the same time with a given number of samples. That's impossible. It's mathematically impossible. So we now have this scheme. We input the audio, send it to the window function, do the FFT, calculate the power, and display it. This will work, but it's not the best solution from the point of view of implementation. Problem is, for example, you want to do this on overlapping blocks of audio, which means you have to do a copy to make the window, which is not very efficient. But there is, again, one more trick. The window, in fact, is a multiplication before the FFT. And you can show that that is the same thing as a convolution, or the mathematical trick, after the FFT. And it's a short convolution, and you can do that by a filter, by an FIR filter, so just a delay line with tabs. And then you get something like this. So there's no more windowing, but we send the output of the FFT, the complex form, into that filter. And the output of the filter will just be the same as what we have at this point in the other scheme. Now, the filter I use here is not just a simple filter, it's a polyphase, which means that you can also interpolate. So instead of having one measurement with the delta F that we calculated before, sample frequency divided by N, you can have measurements in between. And you get them almost for free, because the filter doesn't take much calculation to do. And then the second thing that is added, if you want to measure noise, you need to average the result. Noise is moving all the time, so you can't read it off with any, you can read it off within 10 dB, something like that. So that's the last thing that was added, which is a feedback loop to make an average of the measurements. So this is actually the architecture that is, or the signal flow that is used in JAAA. So that's what the interpolation does. The two is the same filter, really, the same diagram, only for the right one I have zoomed in on the upper 10 dB, 5 dB of the other one. So the two curves, the leftmost one, the rightmost one, are the ones that you would get from the FFT. The center one is the one that is interpolated. So if we now have a frequency that falls between the filters at this point, then the maximum error is the gain at this point, which is minus 0.2 dB approximately. So we now will read any frequency with maximum error of about a quarter dB, which is fine for a display. If we want more accurate measurements, then there are other means to do that, and we will see that later. Other points. How do you measure noise? So let's just try it. I've set up the analyzer here, and I have one output which is routed to a jack back to the input. So it's a digital connection, nothing in between. And I switch on some noise. That's a typical noise spectrum. It looks like noise. It's absolutely flat, what it should be. Problem is, what is the level? If I change the bandwidth, so the number of points in the FFT, then the level will change. For smaller bandwidth, it will go down. For a larger bandwidth, it will go up. So what is the correct noise level? So what happens is the apparent level seems to depend on the length of the FFT. And what's happening is that what you can measure with the spectrum analyzer is not noise power, but noise density, conventionally called N0. So N0 is the noise power that you have in each bandwidth of 1 Hz. So the total noise power, because all those small bands are not related, they are not correlated, total noise power is the N0 multiplied by the bandwidth. If you do that in decibels, it's a lot easier. You just add them up. For example, if the noise level is minus 10 dB, the sample frequency is 44.1, the bandwidth is half of that, 22. And 22K translated into decibels becomes 43.43. So that will give us a noise density N0 of minus 53 dB. Same thing for 48 kilohertz, it should be minus 53.8. So let's verify if this is correct. There is a feature in JAAA. First, you can average the reading. Makes it a lot easier to measure noise. And then you can put a noise marker at the frequency. And when you do that, the program will calculate the N0 at that point. So here I have minus 64, which is 10 dB below what I expected. But the noise level is not minus 10, it's minus 20. So it's minus 20 minus the 44. This one, 44 rounded, will give me minus 64, which is indeed what we read here. So, that's how you measure noise with an analyzer. If you want a total noise power, you have to integrate that over the spectrum. It's a function I will build in sometime, but it has not been done at the moment. So now, implementation. This is multi-threaded program. I only show two of them. There's one more. So there's an audio thread which will run in real time if you want it. That connects with Jack or ALSA. And it contains also the signal generator. Signal generator at the moment is quite basic. It's a sine wave at a frequency level that you can select, or white noise, or the two together. Between, then there's the main thread, which contains the FFT code, the analyzer, some code to map the result on the screen, and the graphical user interface. Between the two is a circular buffer. So even if the main thread is completely blocked, the audio thread will just continue. It will not generate X-rens or whatever. Then this blocking. Display mapper, that's another practical problem that needs to be solved if you make an analyzer like this one. On the one hand, you have a number of outputs from your analyzer, and on the other hand, you have a number of pixels on your screen, on the frequency scale. And they don't fall together, so you have to map from one to the other. If you have much more pixels than measured points, that's easy. Just take the nearest pixel and draw a line between those, and you get a nice spectrum. The other case is more difficult. If you have more spectral points than pixels, which is often the case, what should you do? You have more than one measurement to display on one place on your screen. And here, there are two things you should do. If you want to measure the level of a sine wave, for example, what you need is the peak value of all spectral points that correspond to one pixel. Because you want to read off the output of the filter that has its top as near as possible to the frequency. But if you want the noise level, and you take the peak level, you make an error. So for the noise, you need the average value. So what happens, and you already saw it probably, if this happens, then JAAA will just display two traces, one which is the peak, and the second trace is the average. And you need to know which one to use. Then there are markers. I already showed the noise marker. You can also put a marker on a peak, on a frequency. And then JAAA will calculate the exact position of the peak, which can be between two filter outputs, and give you the power at that point and also the exact frequency, which is sometimes quite handy to have. So for the demo, this is not exactly correct. The AMS is not there. And I have used two PCMs. One has the loop, as shown, and the other one is just not connected, so I can measure the input only. I have found a nice test case, which is a sound card that someone happened to have. It's not mine. And it has some problems, which is nice to show if you just can show a flat spectrum, that's not interesting, but this card has some problems, so I know this card should not have those problems. It is a problem, but it should go back to where it came from and be collected. So I prefer not to say which one it is. So let's switch off this internal loop and have a look at the signal that's coming from the card. I'll give a bit more range so you see everything. So this is the noise that is generated by the card itself at the analog input when nothing is connected. Sorry. So let's average that. And this is not normal. You would expect something flat here. That's one thing, and the level for high frequencies is much too high. Let's do a small calculation. So here the N0 is not constant. It gets higher for higher frequencies. Let's take, say, 10K as the average value, which is optimistic, and measure the noise there. So we get minus 122 dB per hertz. Okay, let's add the bandwidth, which was 44 dB, we know that. So quick mental calculation gives me minus 78 dB signal to noise ratio. So 122 minus 44 is 78. So the signal to noise ratio for maximum amplitude signal, which is not there, but compared to the maximum signal that we can have, is 78 dB. And it's even less because the level at 10K is much below the level at 15, for example. So 78 dB for what is supposed to be a 24-bit card. It's not very impressive. I did the test, I switched this card to 16 dB, it makes no difference at all. So if this is typical for this card, you're paying too much for it, but I assure you it's not the case. There is something with it, but I just don't know what. That's one thing. Now let's zoom in a bit. First, zoom in a level. So increase the resolution a bit. Here it's back. And then let's zoom in a bit in frequency. And take a smaller bandwidth so we see more detail. Now have a display from 0 to 1000 Hertz, and just let's wait what the averaging is doing. There's a second problem here, which is this. This is not DC. There could be a small DC offset, but then this line would continue like this and then jump up here maybe. So there's also some very strange low frequency noise here, which is not explained. If you listen to it, it sounds like a helicopter. It's very weak, but it sounds a bit like a helicopter. Second problem. Let's move up in frequency a bit and take the smallest bandwidth, which is about 1 hertz in this case, and wait a few moments. To have a good average. Okay, this here we see nothing special, but this is only input. On the other channel, I have the input of the card connected to its own output. Let's see what that does. Same problem for low frequencies. There's there's something else. If you wait some time to have a good average, we see some strange peaks. For example, and this one, which is at exactly 1 kHz, a second one, which is at 2 kHz, and a third one, which is at 3 kHz. So what's this? Where is this coming from? And I had to think a bit, but it's very simple. This is a USB card. So the USB interrupt frequency is 1 kHz exactly. So apparently a bit of the digital signal is leaking into the audio. So to detect a thing like this, you need such a tool. That's why I built it. That's what you can do with it, really. We could zoom in a bit, but I don't think there is anything interesting to see there. Nothing special to see here. If we take again the same full bandwidth, and we see again the rising noise with a strange shape. So here you see the two traces. The blue one is the peak level, which we use for the peak markers. You see they are on the blue trace. If I make a noise marker, it will be put on the gray one automatically. Because that's the correct point to read the noise. Oh, sorry. So, what remains to be done? Clean up the code and documentation, which is classical. I don't promise I will do that, but I will try. I want some more signal generators. At the moment it's quite simple, sine and noise. There should be functions to integrate the noise, really. It's difficult to calculate what was the signal-to-noise ratio because the noise was not constant here. So there should be an automatic function to do that. Trace memories should be possible to store a measurement into memory, recall it back later to compare it with something else. Also, printing, for example. I want to export these things to PNG or EPS or whatever. And another thing I want to add is jack transport awareness. So you can say, okay, analyze from this time to this time. Give me the average in this interval, which is perfectly possible if you play a playback sound file with Ecasound, for example. It will give you exactly that part, and then you can measure it. Other possible evolutions of this program could be special versions, forensic audio, really investigate things, medical applications should be possible, and so on and so on. So, question time. This was a short talk, we are in time. Any questions?
Thank you, Franz. So.
What random number generator do you use for the noise?
It's a C++ class I made years ago, which I use in all simulations and everything you can imagine. It is as good as the floating point can be. if you mean there are some noise. It's 2 to the 25th at least. It should be more. Also, it's if the noise is Gaussian, and there's no limit to the amplitude, it could go up to 100 sigma. I won't live to see that, but it can happen.
Okay, are there controls for, say, the FFT size or overlap averaging?
No, at the moment it just depends. You can't control it. The program at the moment will take sensible default, which depends on the FFT length. as long as the FFT is short, then it is actually the display thread that will control the number of
right. So you're zooming.
Traces.
Your zooming decides what FFT size you're going to use at that moment, or
no? If the FFT is very short, so very fast, then the display will limit it to, I think, 8 measurements per second. If the FFT goes bigger, so it takes longer, and the window becomes long. For example, for 1 hertz bandwidth, you take 1 second of signal. Then it is driven by the FFT, and there's an overlap of 50% at the moment. There should be controls to modify that. Yeah, I agree.
Further questions? Any questions from IRC? Okay, then thank you, Franz.
Thank you.
And so if you like, see you back at 3 p.m. for a presentation of a text-based studio by Julian Patrick Klaassen.